no more delay is Mr. Martinez.
Thank you, Mr. Fleming. Good afternoon, brethren. I hope everyone is having a great and restful Sabbath day so far. I know we are here in Puerto Rico and pray you are too, wherever you may be. We've had also a week of rain and sunshine in Puerto Rico. We had rain the last 2 days, which actually rained quite a bit more than it did the last probably month altogether, but with the Sahara dust gone and that cloud gone, so makes room for more rain, which is always a blessing. Well, brethren, we are now in the middle of the timeline between the spring holy days that we just took part of, with the Passover, the Days of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of Pentecost. Now, we are exactly 100 days, or the equivalent of 14 weeks from the start of the fall holy days, which is the Feast of Trumpets. Also, we are just 15 weeks away from the Day of Atonement and 16 weeks away from the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, I know this may seem like it is a long time away, and it seems like a long time away because in all actuality, it is. However, considering how fast this Gregorian calendar year, 2021, has gone by, just this upcoming week, we enter into the sixth month of June. And knowing how fast summertime usually flies by, it will not be long until we begin our preparation for God's fall holy day schedule. I mentioned these dates so you begin to get them in your mind, and with your critical thinking, know that this time in between the fall and spring holy days represent an important part of our lives. We are in a time when the world seems to be collapsing on itself, with everything going out throughout different parts of the globe. From troubles in the Middle East with Israel, Palestine, and Iran, to uncertainty with nations such as China, Russia, and Turkey. And also, we cannot even forget what is happening domestically here in the United States of America. These are definitely trying times for all of us, because everywhere we read online or in the newspapers, watch on TV, and see with our own eyes, the world just keeps getting a little worse each and every passing month. This time in between God's appointed times is a reminder that we should have the best possible groundwork for ensuring that we maintain our course of action based on God's ways and not mankind. God the Father and His Son, our Messiah, Jesus the Christ, should be our backbone into how we manage the situations that are present in our lives currently. The groundwork we must have needs to be of solid base, because without it, we will not be able to endure and maintain ourselves in the course God and Christ expect us to be. I've titled today's sermon, Where is Your Foundation? Where is your foundation? This sermon will be divided into three distinct areas of interest that I think all of us will benefit greatly due to current events, as well as what we need to do and have in mind when facing the trying times ahead. A good foundation is something that can be evidenced with how we build our Christian character. And the basis of that foundation is tied directly with the spiritual aspects we need to have in mind at all times. Just like a house that is built on a solid foundation cannot fall away, so too should our foundation be built with the correct tools, mindset, and spirituality to have on us at all times. Especially with Satan and his demons constantly attempting to take us off guard. Now, speaking of the foundations of a house, one cannot help but think of the parable of the house built on a rock and another on the sand, also known as the parable of the house builder. scripture for today to the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 24 through 28. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 24 through 28. Reading out of the Modern English Version, it says, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. And everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it fell, and its fall was great. When Jesus finished these sayings, the people were astonished at his teaching." Our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, explains where our own foundation stands, especially when it comes to him and the world. The foundation of God and our Messiah is the rock, while the foundation of man is the world, represented by sand. Let's take a quick look at the two terms we'll be covering throughout the sermon for today, and those are foundation and rock. According to Webster's Dictionary, the word foundation has different meanings, such as a basis upon which something stands, an underlying base or support, a body or ground upon which something is built up or overlaid. Also, the word foundation has different meanings in the Strong's Concordance. Strong's 4144 from the Hebrew word mosad, which is spelled M-O-S-A-D, meaning foundation. Strong's 4143 from the Hebrew word musad, which is spelled M-U-S-A-D, meaning foundation or foundation laid. Strong's 2310 from the Greek word themelios, which is spelled T-H-E-M-E-L-I-O-S, meaning laid down as a foundation or the foundation. Now let's take a closer look at the word rock. According to Webster's Dictionary, the word rock has several different meanings. A large mass of stone forming a cliff, a concreted mass of stony material, and foundation, support, or refuge. Also, the word rock has different meanings from the Strong's Concordance. Strong's 6697 from the Hebrew word sur, which is spelled T-S-U-R, meaning rock or cliff. Strong's 4073 from the Greek word petra, which is spelled P-E-T-R-A, meaning a large mass of rock, and Strong's 2496 from the Hebrew word kalamish, which is spelled K-H-A-L-A-M-I-S-H, meaning flint or rock. Now that we have some background into what the two words we'll be focusing on for the sermon, there are three distinct points to be made for the main message today that we will examine. First, the point that God is our rock, as evidenced from Scripture and several examples. Secondly, what are the consequences of not having a proper foundation in your life? In essence, not having God's ways embedded in us. And thirdly, we will look at the foundation of Christ through our own actions, and how these actions are used as an application in our life, and what we can do moving forward. Let's look at the first element for the sermon today, and that is how God is our rock. The foundation of our lives should be that God is at the center of everything that happens around us. We need to make sure that we know and comprehend that God Almighty is at the helm of what we need to be in our life, because the foundation cannot stand in our life without His presence, His will, and His mandate being manifested in our daily routine. There needs to be careful consideration given to this, especially since it involves God serving as our protector. And knowing that a solid foundation of a rock, like in a house, can also serve with a metaphoric and symbolic meaning for God in our life too. The concept of God being our rock stems from several examples of Scripture, as we're about to see both in the Old and New Testament. Let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, and verse 4. Here we will begin to read of the time Moses created a song unto God. Deuteronomy, chapter 32, and verse 4. It says, He is the rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are just. He is a God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is He. Moses' words give praise unto God, being the rock, perfect in His ways, just and right in all aspects of His life. The very essence of God being the rock in our life begins with the very words of Moses presented for all of us to know and acknowledge. He knew then that there could be no ample support in our life without the presence of God. Our very foundation that we need to build upon for all matters related to us. Let's continue in the Old Testament to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 22. Here we will read about David's words toward God. And we'll pick up a few verses there as well. 2 Samuel, chapter 22, beginning in verses 1 through 8. It says, Now on the day the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul, David spoke to the Lord the words of this song. He said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my fortress and my sanctuary, my Savior, you save me from violence. I call upon the Lord, who is praiseworthy, and I am saved from my enemies. When the waves of death encompassed me, the currents of destruction made me afraid. The ropes of Sheol were wrapped around me. The snares of death were opposite me. In my distress, I called on the Lord and cried out to my God. From his temple he heard my voice. My cry reached his ears. Then the earth quaked and trembled. The foundations of the heavens rumbled and shook because he was angry. David begins with presenting the importance of having a strong foundation with God in his life. David knew, through all of the troubles, trials, and tribulations he faced in his life, that God was always his rock and his salvation from all mankind wanted to do with him and his life. David received his strength, his wisdom, and his deliverance from his enemies through God, because God was at the center of his life. We too should take heed and know that God will always deliver us from the most troubling of times, situations, and circumstances surrounding our life. At all times, always and forever. Never forget that. Let's continue here in 2 Samuel 22, but this time reading verses 17 through 32. 2 Samuel 22, verses 17 through 32. It says, He reached from on high and took me. He drew me out of mighty waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy, from those who hate me, for they were stronger than I. They confronted me in the day of my disaster. But the Lord was my support. He brought me to the open expanse. He rescued me, for he delighted in me. The Lord did for me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and I have not become guilty against my God. For all his judgments are before me. And I have not abandoned his statutes. I am blameless toward him, and I have kept myself from guilt. The Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. With the faithful, you prove yourself faithful. With the blameless, you prove yourself blameless. With the pure, you show yourself pure, but with the perverse, you show yourself shrewd. You deliver a humble people, but your eyes are upon the exalted to bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord illuminates my darkness. For by you I can run over a channel. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? David presents a song praising God for the protection given to him. David understood, as we should as well, that God is above all. Especially when it comes to our protection. God will deliver us from our enemies, just like he did with David. Here we read about David going through some of the most difficult moments in his life, knowing full well that his confidence, trust, and merit were all placed on God in the first place. By keeping the statutes, commandments, and instructions, God clearly laid out in Scripture, for all of us to follow, David was able to find the answer to the problems he faced. With God, all things are possible, and there can be no other foundation in our life. As the last part of verse 32 states, if it is not God's foundation as the rock in our life. Let's continue David's thought process for this element over in the book of Psalms. Chapter 27, verses 1 through 5. A very familiar set of verses to all of us. Psalms chapter 27, verses 1 through 5. It says, The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom will I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom will I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army should encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that will I seek after, for me to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to see the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. In the shelter of his tabernacle, he will hide me. He will set me up on a rock. And dropping down to verses 7 through 14 here in Psalms 27, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face far from me. Do not thrust your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in an upright path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my enemies, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be strong, and may your heart be stout. Wait on the Lord. David is clear. When trouble comes in our life, God will set our foundation on the rock so our enemies don't triumph over us. God is with us wherever we may go at any and all times. It does not matter how many people are against us or how much the world surrounds us with problems and adversities. God will deliver us from all manner of wickedness. If we dwell in his tabernacle by following his ways and seeking his foundation. Let's look at several other verses here in the book of Psalms to find out more. Psalms 31, verses 1 through 5. Psalms 31, verses 1 through 5. It says, in you, O Lord, do I seek refuge. May I never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Incline your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my strong rock, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Lead me out of the net that they have hidden for me, for you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. Let's turn now a few pages over to Psalms chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. Psalms chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who places trust in the Lord, but does not turn toward the proud, nor those falling away to falsehood. O Lord my God, you have done many wonderful works, and your thoughts toward us cannot be compared. If I will declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And finally, Psalms 92, verses 12 through 15. Psalms chapter 92, verses 12 through 15. It says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be filled with vitality and foliage. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. David presents the attitude we must all have in our life. leaving everything in God's hands, having God be our guide, our light, and our rock, to help us against the troublesome times that occur. David relates the message of our God during tumultuous times in our life might seem at first that he is not there. However, like David waited patiently on the Lord, so should we. God will set us on the rock when we are most down in our life. God is our rock in our life. All he does in our life prospers for good. If we are planted in his ways, in the right path. Let's look at the second element for the sermon today, and that is the consequences of not having a proper foundation. Our life is predicated on the premise that we choose of what we choose to have as a foundation. We are either left with the choice of having our Christian character be forged by God and our Messiah, Jesus the Christ, or allow the world to shape us to be who we are. Are we going to get it right all the time? No. I can assure you of that because we are not perfect by any means or stretch of the imagination. However, we have to consider that our actions we take are based on either having a proper foundation or not. We have to choose carefully, brethren. Let's turn back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, but this time verses 9 through 18. Continue with the words of Moses from the beginning. Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verses 9 through 18. It says, "For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the allotment of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the howling wastes of a wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He protected him like the pupil of his eye. Like an eagle stirs up her nest that flutters over her young, he spread out his wings and took him. He lifted him on his pinions. The Lord alone guided him. And there was no foreign God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, and he ate of the produce of the fields. He made him suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter from the herd, and milk from the flock, along with the fat of lambs and rams of the breed from Bashan, and goats with the best of the kernels of wheat. You drank the pure blood of the grape, but Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, you grew thick, you are covered with fat. Then he forsook God who made him, and devalued the rock of his salvation. They made him jealous with strange gods. With abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that recently came along, whom your fathers did not fear. You have forgotten the rock who begot you. You are unmindful and have forgotten the God who gave you birth. These are the consequences of Israel not letting God be their rock, their salvation. And God looks down at what happens when he is rejected by his own people. We cannot take for granted what God does in our lives, ever. The path we take is crucial because we cannot let our guard down, especially when it comes to God's way, not mankind. Our mindset is key to determining our best course of action. Let's continue here in Deuteronomy 32. This time reading verses 27 through 35. It says, "However, I feared the wrath of the enemy, that their adversaries would misunderstand and say, 'Our hand is victorious, and the Lord has not done all this.' For they are nation devoid of counsel. There is no understanding in them. Would that they were wise, so that they understood this, so that they would comprehend their future. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had given them up? For their rock is not as our rock. Even our enemies themselves concede this. For their vine is from the vine of Sodom and from the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of poison. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the deadly venom of cobras. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? Vengeance is mine and recompense. Their foot will slip in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things to come hasten upon them. The importance of knowing the difference between the rock of man and the rock of God. Clearly, the foundation of God cannot be affected, yet man's will fall in due time. Vengeance is God's always. Let us not be rooted in wickedness like Sodom and Gomorrah, but with that of God and His righteousness. Let's turn back to the book of Psalms again, chapter 61, verses 1 through 8. Psalm chapter 61, verses 1 through 8. It says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart faints, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a refuge for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tent forever. I will seek refuge in the covering of your wings, Salah. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. May you prolong the king's life, and may his years be as many generations. May he sit enthroned before God forever. O, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. Thus will I sing praise to your name forever, that I may fulfill my vows day by day." When our life seems to be overwhelmed the most, that is when we must know that God will lead us to the rock that He is. Like David mentioned, we perform our vows to our Heavenly Father daily, not just when things go bad, but at all times, because it reaffirms our faith that God is in charge and everything will be restored to normalcy in His time, according to His will. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah now, chapter 17, verses 9 through 11. Isaiah, chapter 17, verses 9 through 11. It says, "In that day his strong city shall be as a forsaken bough and an uppermost branch, which they left because of the sons of Israel. And there shall be a desolation, because you have forgotten the God of your salvation, and have not been mindful of the rock of your strength. Therefore, you plant pleasant plants and set them with vine slips of a strange God. In the day that you plant it, you carefully fence it in, and in the morning you make your seed to flourish. But the harvest shall be a heap of ruins in the day of grief and desperate pain." The consequences of what happens when we forget about God, His statutes and commandments, and what transpires next is what we need to look out for. Let us not slip and fall into the foundation. foundation that will grow into what God does not want our life to be. Let us grow with the seed that God has planted in us to have a secure foundation. Let's look at the third and final element for the sermon today, and that is having the foundation of Christ through our actions. We already looked at the element with the scripture we read at the beginning of the sermon of Matthew 7, 24 through 28, with the parable of the house builders that Christ clearly illustrates and is an example for our life. Our actions need to mimic the ones that Christ did when he was on this earth. A foundation without Christ-like mentality will result in the actions that we take in our lives as being vain and without proper existence. There can be no doubt in our minds that Christ's foundation, as part of the rock that God the Father presents, needs to be put in practice daily. Our actions and our life will ultimately set the example of whether we are laying up a foundation for the glory of God or for the glory of man. Let's look at three scriptures that are all related with similar messages, but found throughout different parts of the Bible to find out more. Let's turn just a few pages back, if you're still there, in the book of Isaiah, to chapter 8, verses 13 through 14. Isaiah, chapter 8, verses 13 and 14. It says, "Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. He shall become a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, and a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." The symbolism Isaiah presents as to what happens when we let God be our fear in life and not the world. The second is in the book of Romans, chapter 9, verses 31 through 33. Romans, chapter 9, verses 31 through 33. It says, "But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, did not attain the law of righteousness. Why not? Because they did not seek it by faith, but by the works of the law. For they stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, 'Look, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be ashamed.'" We see the correlation between the prophet Isaiah and the words of Paul to the Romans. Israel did not speak and believe through faith in God, but by the law of man. This lack of faith in God and placing their faith in man is something that we know we cannot do and please God. And we know that is evidence in Scripture. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. You don't have to turn there. Just put it in your notes. It says, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." The third scripture is found in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. It says, "For also it is contained in the scripture, 'Look, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and and he who believes in him shall never be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble because they are disobedient to the word, to which also they were appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may declare the goodness of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In times past, you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Peter's words resonate with what Isaiah and Paul presented. God called us from the foundation of the world and into the foundation of his truth and the wisdom of Jesus the Christ. We are a chosen people. We are spiritual Israel. Our actions deem it an obligation to continue on the work that Christ laid out during his time on this physical earth. Christ set up an important foundation, and we cannot let that foundation be ignored. Let's turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. Here we will read Paul's warning to the Corinthians regarding idolatry. 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 6 through 10. It says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. Verse 1, it says, I will not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, and they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. Paul clearly explains the history of the people of Israel, in how they were based on the rock of God and Christ, yet they would follow in their own ways. Paul reiterates this as a heed to all of us to not make the same mistake they did. We have the rock of Christ in our life as an example and admonition to follow. There can be no stable foundation that will last if it does not involve God and his Son, Jesus the Christ. Our spirit, mind, and body must be at all times rooted in the foundation that God has made in our life. He is our rock. He will always be there for us, and that foundation will never, ever fall. We know the consequences of not having God's foundation in our lives, and we do not want to be caught up in man's foundation, which could last maybe a small amount of time, but ultimately it will fall. And it will fall hard when things get the most challenging. Finally, Christ is our rock, because his sacrifice, example, and statutes as God's own Son to be part of the foundation that leads to forever being standing. Let us not fall away from what God and Christ teach us to do, and ensure that our life is properly made from the foundation that leads to righteousness. I'll ask you again, where is is your foundation. That does conclude my message for today. I will turn services over to Mr. Fleming for a closing song and introduction of the closing prayer.